Revelation chapter 20. This is a very sobering passage, but it is very important for us to understand this passage here in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So I've entitled the message, "A Great White Throne." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your power and presence. As we open your word, Lord, and consider this judgment that's yet to come in the future, Lord, may it truly work a miracle in our hearts to remind us, Lord, what the unsaved face. And Lord, how important it is that we are saved, but it also that we tell people how they can be saved as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd accomplish a mighty miracle in our lives and that you would be glorified in this service. Guide us with your wisdom. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this, if you look at the Bible chronologically, which we should, this event takes place after the kingdom, which is yet to come. So in God's chronological calendar, the next thing for us, of course, is the rapture. That can happen at any moment. Jesus is going to come take us away. Then we have the seven-year tribulation period, which is Revelation 6 through Revelation 18. And then in Revelation 19, we have the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, where he sets up his 1,000-year kingdom, which we get to be a part of. And then at the end of the kingdom, we find this judgment taking place. And as we'll see, the good news for us as Christians is we won't be at this particular judgment. If you're born again, you won't be there. You will have already been judged at the judgment seat of Christ. When we are taken up to heaven to be with the Lord at the rapture, we'll be judged by Jesus, not for our sins, but for our works. But these people are the dead. They will be judged for their sins, as we will see. And so notice it says in verse 11, "And him that sat on it," that is Jesus. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7, if you want to turn there, was given a vision of this judgment. Remember, Daniel was also allowed to see a lot of the future. And in Daniel chapter 7, he described this throne and who sat on the throne. Notice Daniel 7, verse 9, the Bible says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like as a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." So Daniel was given a glimpse of this judgment. We know it's the same one because it says the books were opened. And we just read that phrase here in Revelation chapter 20 about the books were opened in verse 12. And so this is God sitting on his throne in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, judging the dead. And as we see in verse 12, the dead are the ones who are there. It says in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Now, before we were saved, we were dead. Say, "No, I'm alive." In God's explanation, if you will, and God's doctrinal understanding of this, if you're connected to God and you have God, you have life. If you don't have God, you don't have life. You are dead. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1 that we were born dead in trespasses and sins. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So if you are born again, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. If you do not have Jesus Christ, you do not have life, which means you are dead. And every one of us was dead until that day that we got saved. And what we're reading about here is the judgment of the dead. Say, "Yes, but they're conscious." Exactly. Because death and life are not about the body in Scripture. They're about our position with God. Do we have God or not? If we have God, we have life. If you would go to John chapter 5, Jesus Christ mentioned this resurrection of damnation is how he described it, where the dead are judged in their final judgment. Now, these dead have already been in hell. Some of them for hundreds of years. Some of them for 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 years. They've already been in hell. But in this final judgment, they are pulled out of hell long enough to face this final judgment, only to be cast into the lake of fire. Notice verse 529 of John. The Bible says, "And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Say, well, nobody's done good. Again, if you are saved this morning, you are 100% righteous in the eyes of God. When it comes to whether or not we can go to heaven, you've never sinned. It's hard for us to understand that, but that's how it works. The Bible says, "God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. We are justified. And when God sees us, when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, all he will see is righteousness. So it's hard for us to comprehend, but that's how our God chose to do it. Praise him. So the Bible tells us there is a resurrection of damnation. That's what we're reading about here in Revelation chapter 20. So go back to our passage. The Bible says, "And the books were opened." Now these books we just read about in Daniel chapter 7. These books are obviously a recording of everything that these unsaved have ever done. The Bible says that in verse 12 that they will be judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So the dead are judged based on what's written down in the books. Now, we don't know exactly what's in the books, but according to Scripture, it looks like God keeps track of everything. And I'll show you some examples. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and then we'll look at some New Testament scriptures after that. But according to the Bible, everything is kept track of, which should make us even that much more thankful to be saved. To think that every sin we've ever committed, if we're not saved, it's been written down and recorded. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Every secret thing. Now go over to Matthew 12 and see what Jesus had to say about what's recorded. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. The Bible tells us, Matthew 12, 36, "I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." So every secret thing, every idle word, and one more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, just to give you some examples. There's many scriptures that talk about what we're judged for if we're not saved. But this is enough. It should be enough to be sobering. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." So we've got every secret thing, we've got every idle word, and we've got every counsel of the heart, which that's our thoughts. So every secret sin is recorded. Every idle word is recorded, and every evil thought is recorded. These are going to be some big books. And you know what's exciting is we're not there. Amen? The day that you got saved, every single sin was covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:14 says he hath forgiven us all trespasses. And we will not be judged for our sins. We will be judged for what we did with our time to determine our reward, but we will not be judged for our sin. That took place at Calvary for every born-again Christian. But back to our passage, we see that the dead are there. We see that the dead are judged out of the books. And it looks like the books contain pretty much everything. And so where do these dead come from? Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So that's what I meant when I said earlier that these people have already been in hell. And hell and the lake of fire are obviously two different things, two different places. And so these people have been in hell, but it's not over. They haven't faced their final judgment yet, which is the judgment we're reading about. But what we find here is that this is the end of what we understand as death. And you know, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so it says death and hell, so all the dead are delivered up. This resurrection of damnation, it looks like they're even rejoined to their bodies, like we are. And they are judged according to their works. But then, as we read in verse 14, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, which means death, as we understand, death is gone. And if you go to chapter 21, that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There it is. No more death. So death will be gone. There will be no more dead or death after this judgment. And God calls it, verse 14, the second death. You know, when we sing Happy Birthday, that second verse, I forget it now, just flew out of my head, but only one will not do. Take Christ as your Savior and then you'll have two. Every person needs to have that second birthday. Amen? Because if they don't, they're going to face a second death. Much better to have a second life and only physical death rather than only have physical life and have to face a second spiritual death. And that's how it works in God's program. All of us are born physically, but we must be born again spiritually to avoid the second death. And that's that second birthday. Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead. The day that we were saved, God gave us life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Life from Jesus. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Which means we won't be at the second death. But there are a lot of people who will. And that's what I meant when I said that this is a sobering passage. Think of all the people out there that are going to be at this second death. And we have in our possession the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ, which has the power to rescue them from this, if they will but believe. But they must hear. And so what have we seen so far? We see that the dead are there at the great white throne, that the dead are judged out of the books, not the book. There's a separate book, which we're going to see in a moment. They're judged out of the books, and death is eliminated. And the last thing we see is the only way to avoid this judgment is to have your name in the book, the other book. Look at it, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book of life. The opposite of death is life. And to avoid the second death, to avoid being cast into the lake of fire for eternity, to avoid being dead forever, we must have life. And when we get life, our names get written in the book of life. Praise God. And Jesus talked a lot about this. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 40. Just look at a couple scriptures. And did you notice what are written in the book of life? It doesn't say works, it says names. Now in the other books, it says all the works, everything, the thoughts, the words, the secret things, it's all written down. The book of life, it doesn't list works, it lists names. Who has life? Who has eternal life? Those are the ones written in the book of life. John 5:40, ye will not come to me that you might have life. Jesus said in John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 3:16, probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. Right? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. The day that we trust Jesus Christ, the day that we receive Jesus Christ, we receive everlasting life. And we receive it from the one who is life. When Jesus was talking to Thomas in John 14, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. The only life is Jesus Christ, Jehovah. He is the one who gives life. He is life. And that's why if you go to Revelation 21, 27, this book of life, which was mentioned at this judgment, which the dead are not found in, I want you to see whose book it is. Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. Because it's only the Lamb who can give us life. Amen? When Jesus first started preaching, John the Baptist saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. And it is his book. And the only way you can be written in this book is to receive him. To receive his life. It's not based on works. It's not based on church attendance. It's not based on baptism. It's based on Jesus. And Jesus alone. The Bible says in Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We cannot earn it. We can only receive it because it is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, first of all, I would ask, don't answer out loud, do you know for a fact that you have life? That's it. I'm not talking about physical life. That's obvious, or you wouldn't be sitting here. I'm talking about spiritual life. Have you received Jesus? Have you received eternal, everlasting life from Jesus Christ? Do you know that? Do you know you've repented and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, praise God. And you should praise God every day that you don't have to be at this judgment. Can you imagine having every single sin you've ever committed, every evil thought you've ever had, every word you've ever said, written down and brought back up and have to answer for it? I can't even imagine what that would be like. And we think, oh, that would take so long. Time will be gone. Time doesn't mean anything in eternity. Time is just something God made for us. But time means nothing to God. And you know, maybe from our perspective, this seems like, oh, well, for God to record and re-display, if you will, every evil sin of millions and millions of sinners, how long could that take? Time doesn't mean anything. But think how sobering of a time this will be. From what we can see in Scripture, we will not be there. Hallelujah. We will have already been judged, had our marriage suffer with Jesus Christ, come back to the earth with Jesus Christ on our white horses. We will have ruled and reigned with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on a perfect, wonderful earth. And then we get to be in the New Jerusalem. In the meantime, Jesus will judge the dead. at the great white throne. And not only will the dead be judged, but death will be ended. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. They will be judged out of these books. And the only way to avoid this judgment, God made it very clear. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I hope you know that your name's in that book. And if you do, what's our number one responsibility? To try to help others get their name in that book too. Amen? That's why God left us here. So that they don't have to go to the great white throne. They can hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and be rescued like we have been through what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. The great white throne. Let's pray.